Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is, can a CIO afford a two-week vacation? Our guests for today's show are Mark Tonneson and Jax Taylor. Mark is the Vice President of IT and CIO for Logitech, and Jack is the Group Vice President of Technology and CIO with Orbitz. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So when are you guys taking your next vacation?
I actually came back from one end of March, beginning of April. Went down to Mexico with my family. But I have to say I had to laugh when I saw this topic because it was the first time in 2 years that we had taken a family vacation. So I guess I'm guilty as charged.
Well, I'm due in about 3 weeks around Memorial Day, so I'm looking forward to it.
And you know, I can tell you this much, that most IT leaders out there must be very envious here because many of them have had this problem. While they would squeeze this out, but they would be going out with their BlackBerries and other PDAs with them and always constantly checking emails. Mm-hmm. That should not happen. That's not a vacation. That's remote workplace.
That's true.
So, go ahead. So basically what we are trying to understand here is that the organizations are putting more and more responsibilities. In fact, there was some recent article in CIO Magazine where they're saying not only the IT organization, that they want the person to become everything but a janitor. And if that's going to happen, how do we ever have this individual, the IT leader, get out of, you know, doing everything and still have a, you know, sense of relief in what they're doing?
Well, I mean, I think part of that question is really the role that the individual plays within the organization and their team. You know, if you go back 30, 40 years, you know, IT organizations were really back office functions. You know, at best, they supported the base infrastructure, maybe some of the financial systems. But many of the services that IT provides today are very much front office, customer facing, and certainly extended to the individuals at the desktop level. And so the key for IT now has, I mean, and their success has really broadened. So the role has changed quite a bit. The organization has changed, and I think that the dependency from the organization standpoint on the CIO and, of course, on their organization to perform, to continually be engaged has never been greater.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more, especially at Orbitz, where obviously our we are a technology company. We're a travel company, but it's all based on technology. So we're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Basically, the store is always open. And I believe that a lot of the being able to step back as the CIO and take a vacation or just let his staff or her staff take the front line, I think it really has to do with your culture and your management capabilities and your bench strength. I think that has everything to do with it as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the bench strength within an organization and one of the many keys to a CIO's success is really building that bench strength and future leaders and succession planning and making sure that the leadership team can allow the CIO to take a vacation or to take on additional responsibility if that fits.
Yes.
And with that being said, do you think if they were doing the right thing and they were able to take their vacations, then why would there be like a sense of burnout and or lack of interest, or maybe the fact that the tenure of a CIO is becoming, it was averaging around 4 years and now it's reducing even further. And most people who are in transition that people have spoken to, they say that either they had to really leave their organization before things went impossible for them or they were becoming impossible, or they would just say, you know what, we are bored. So people are coming out and assuming those roles, and even then they're either getting bored or they're saying it's impossible.
Yeah, well, I think there are a number of factors at play here, and there really you can't point to any one thing. But I would say, you know, first and foremost, a lot of what the CIO faces is some of the old line culture that CIO is a cost function. The investment levels are tightly managed, tightly controlled, and in my case, very much so in a consumer products business. So they're looked at right and left. And so becoming successful as a CIO really involves partnering with the business and adding value in all parts of the company, whether it be in operations, manufacturing, you know, supply chain, you know, sales, what have you. And I think the key is that those two things tend to work against each other. And so CIOs in often cases find themselves in a no-win situation. They tend to move on. There are those that are bored. I can tell you I certainly am not one of those that is bored. But I think part of the key is making sure that the CIO and the organization is indeed tied in closely with the key business functions of the company, and making sure that they are driving the key initiative, they're participating and really adding value to the company.
We also are talking about driving the top line growth, and this is another responsibility which has even been given by executive management to the CIO, because they say you are no longer supposed to be just a cost center. Become a profit center and show me the money. How is that adding or reducing the level of stress that a CIO would carry?
Well, I think it adds to the stress and adds to the responsibility, and I think the CIO, in a lot of cases, whether they're trying to take some time off and go on a vacation or they're just in general trying to build the team and be successful, in a lot of ways are feeling the pressure of adding that value, as you pointed out. And I think the key is many things. One is, again, as was pointed out, having that bench strength and making sure that you have the right level of people that have the commensurate IT and technology basis and foundation, plus the business acumen to really engage in and help participate, so that the organization at multiple levels now can take a level of responsibility and engage and drive forward programs, initiatives, projects, what have you. So it doesn't all reside on the CIO, on him or her. And so I think that really helps the organization become much more successful.
Yes, I agree. I don't, in my situation, I don't have that burden in that, you know, IT is, I wouldn't say it's a cost center, but, you know, we're delivering transactions every day. I don't need to generate money through my transactions through internal customers. But I have to say my relationship with my internal customers has everything to do with not only, quote-unquote, taking a vacation, but being able to drive value in many different ways. I've been in a lot of different organizations in this role, just within the same umbrella company, just moving around the company, and each culture is very different. Even though I had at Ascendant for a while, it was one umbrella company. Each one of the business P&Ls and the culture around it was vastly different. And so the level of minutia that went into oversight for CI for IT costs or software development varied wildly. It all depended on where the business was in the growth cycle and what was trying to be executed. And I think having gone through those different kinds of scenarios, I would say that the expectation for me as a leader, having to be in the office every day or not, or being able to go on vacation or not, was very specific to those cultural entities. And now at Orbitz, it isn't that way. Meaning we sell vacations, so it's our culture that, you know, people here not only have a passion for technology or for marketing, but they have a passion for travel and vacation. So luckily, I'm at a place where, you know, this is something that is held up as something we need to do and be able to experience and talk about. However, I can say that I wouldn't have been comfortable when I went on my vacation a couple weeks ago if there had been situations here that demanded my daily attention. I definitely would not have gone.
So, I mean, basically, we have always looked at CIOs falling into three categories, which is one is blessed heroes, another one is a cautious juggler, and third is a tired warrior. And the reason we say these three are based on the kind of organizations they end up falling in or started working with. So in blessed, where the executive management and the rest of the team is really supporting what the cause is and they're able to do what they're supposed to do and everything is great. Second is more political organization, and the third one is so that executive management does not even support. And you end up being in those companies. Some of us are blessed, the other people are tired. Mm-hmm. And you still have to deal with it. But then, still you need a vacation, or you still need some time to rejuvenate and keep doing what you have to do. How do you handle, or what suggestions would you have for people who are in any of these three situations to do things differently in order for them to still get a life?
Well, one of the ways that I do that is I prescribe that to my staff first, and I feel like as a leader I have to live by example, so it's kind of like eating your own dog food, I guess, in a way. I'm much more likely to encourage members of my staff to take time off and to get what they need than myself. I've seen that in the past. I don't mean that to sound like I'm a nonstop worker, but I'll actually get the pressure from them, and not just here at Orbitz, but in my other organizations. I think that having the confidence in your staff to be able to step away, whether it's for a long weekend or a week or whatever, I think says a lot. I think that if you set everyone up and everyone understands their expectations, if your customers, meaning your supervisor, your boss, or your peers, have an understanding of the capabilities of your team, you know, they're going to be much less apt to hunt you down to get an answer on a change in a contract or some of these things that come up that seem to be, you know, the end of the world when you're not there. But you kind of set yourself up. You have to set yourself up for the kind of competencies around you so you are able to step away. But I have to say, you mentioned it before, I had my BlackBerry, my CrackBerry with me when I went to Mexico. And it was interesting that I checked it a few times, and I did have to take a couple of calls that I knew were going to occur, which I'm happy I did because of the timing. But everyone expected me to disconnect, even my boss. But I have to say I wasn't 100% disconnected. So to close that point out, I think it's really your effectiveness as a leader in the state of your organization to be able to set yourself up for a vacation that is truly a vacation. I don't know, Mark, what you think.
Well, I agree with everything you said. I mean, I was thinking about the three types of CIOs as well, and to be honest, I find myself in all three roles at certain points in time, and mm-hmm. and I was just thinking about my vacation of many months ago and one coming up, and I think one of the things that really helps is that team and having that team below you, the other thing that really I think makes a difference is making sure that you have the basis covered. So I think about, you know, what is maybe the entry point into being successful in this role, just making sure that the baseline services, right, so you have voice services, you have network services, you have, you know, basic desktop services that any IT organization, any CIO has to be able to provide to the company, to their customer. Certainly there are the added value business programs and projects and initiatives that the company is driving that you are a major part of. But I think of being able to take that time away, I think where the criticality comes in, because you're going to have problems on any project. They happen quite often, and obviously you can't choose when they happen. So you do need to take those calls. But I think the baseline services is really where you lose a lot of sleep sometimes, and those are the times where those really affect your time away. You can't really rejuvenate the batteries, as it were. So I think that those are the kinds of things that I always look to, and making sure that is really taken care of, and it runs like a clock, very robotic, you know, is highly metriced, and making sure that those services are provided to the company. Above and beyond that, then you're going to have to deal with those interrupts and projects that may, in fact, have those issues, as you pointed out, Jack, and those will happen. But you try to keep those to a minimum so you can really, you know, take that time away. A call here, a call there, you know, is okay, maybe not desirable, but, you know, if you can't keep your network up or you can't keep your email services working, those are the things that will either eliminate or certainly, you know, impair your vacation time.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and discuss this a little more and maybe follow up with another question where the aspect of being indispensable for a leader may be a good feeling, but at the same time, it could be detrimental to the health of the whole organization, because if they have to delve into literally everything that's going on, for example, we just spoke about a network being down, so is the CIO supposed to be getting an alert? Should this be actually taken care of without him knowing something like this happened? Because that's why the people down the chain of command within IT organizations are being paid to do that. So let's talk more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjog Gall.
Welcome back, folks. We were talking about a leader who could be indispensable. And for that matter, should they be indispensable? Because that takes away the very reason. I mean, I had a friend who's supposed to be a change agent and or a turnaround specialist. He would go and ask first thing from the HR, how many people can I fire? And secondly, he says, when is the earliest I can fire myself from this job so that I can do bigger and better things? So could that not be the mindset of the IT leader so that that kind of percolates down to the, through the chain of command, and everybody tries to fire themselves from their existing job so that they can grow?
Well, I think there is, that's a very straight and narrow path to take, but I think there is some value to that. As a matter of fact, I feel like I work toward that in many ways, in that I don't need to be there for everything, and I don't want to be the mouthpiece on one side, and I don't want to be, the bottleneck on the other. There have to be very healthy and broad lines of communication from people within my staff to their customers, which, again, could be anywhere within the company, and it doesn't necessarily need to come from me. And Mark, it's probably in the same way that I feel like I work very hard to set up an organization that is ready for that kind of interaction, meaning they're not deferring to me for everything, but they're deferring to me in the areas that we think that we've already kind of generally agreed upon as something, you know, that I need to be involved in. And that could be everything from major decisions when it comes to a financial decision or a big decision on kind of a crossroads within a project or a program, hiring or firing situation. But when it comes to whether or not we're going to, we've got a bad rack in the data center, whether or not we're going to take down the power source and turn off the rack versus going ahead and trying to reroute all the traffic, you know, taking an outage or not, that's something that I need to rely on the experts who are there and in the moment working it, and who are, for that matter, the ones who are going to be physically managing the outcome of whatever decision is made. So I'll support, but I don't think that I need to be there and drive all those decisions, whether I'm capable of doing that or not.
Yeah, Jack, I would agree. I mean, I even think that, you know, you create a level of dependency within your organization if you are the person that's always making those decisions, right? And if the team continually looks to you, then every day they are getting more apprehensive in terms of making those decisions and driving things forward when in fact that's their role and that's the responsibility and that they have. So I think you're absolutely right. You've got to be able to set this up and the team up in a way and be able to support them. And, you know, mistakes will be made and, you know, you hope that those aren't many and they're not repeated. But, you know, that is going to happen and you need to be there to help them and support them. And when they come to you, be able to give them advice. And I think, it becomes a bit easier when everybody understands what the strategy is, what the direction is, what our policies are, what are the best practices, standards, those kinds of things. So within the guidelines of the environment, you know, the right decisions for your business can be made. And you have to trust that the team will make those right decisions and you always being there to make sure that when they need help, you're able to give them some advice and some help, but allowing them to make those decisions and drive those things, because the CIO can't be the answer to everything, and it can't be the mouthpiece for every issue, every action that takes place.
No, and I just wanted to add that being indispensable, I think, is a huge mistake. And matter of fact, at least my approach is that I don't. Of course, I wouldn't want to work myself out of a job in one respect, but on the other side, I feel like I will have been very successful when I could step away or move on or whatever I do, and this organization continues to thrive and grow and be challenged. And of course, there's some disruption, but I think that's the measure of success is if you can step out, whether it's for vacation or into a completely different role or completely different company, and your organization, you know, shines through that and it isn't totally reliant on one person.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So while you would say that you don't want to be indispensable and become a true leader, what happens from an expectation-setting standpoint with the business unit leaders that you work with or the executive management, because they want you to be in the know of everything that's going on, because mm-hmm. they would stop you in the corridor and say, hey, how about something like this happened? And you, while you would have gotten an alert, but you get 20,000 alerts a day in your BlackBerry.
Yeah, you know, you do have that. I've got one of those as well, and I get many of them throughout the day. But I think, you know, it's making sure that you understand where are the priorities, right? So for a given business unit or function in a company, there are key services that you provide and those programs or projects that are truly the most important and the most strategic to the business and to the company, and those are the ones you do need to spend a bit more attention to. Sometimes it is around, you know, sensitivities or impact to maybe external customers. It could be just pure size and spend of what's going on, or it just could be the historical issues that have taken place on a given program or project. And so you have to sense a bit of that. Some of it could be culture within the organization or a given executive who has a sensitivity around you always knowing. So you have to understand that in the organization, but that can't be across every program. You just there's nobody that can scale to that level, and certainly as we've been talking about in this session, you will never end up taking that vacation or getting any downtime. So I think you have to have that team around you to pick up on those other programs and making sure that you know, you feel comfortable and, hey, let me bring in the right person that can answer your question, who has the detail and can provide you even more detail than I can provide on a given issue or project or program. I think it's making sure that you do have a good pulse of what is going on, where are things, where are programs, if there are any issues with them or any concerns, that you are kept aware of those. But the majority of what gets done should roll as normal programs and projects roll. And so those are the things that you need to be able to depend on your organization and the business to just take and continue to drive.
Now, we will talk about the no and not at this time approach. You have to learn to say no when you don't want to say yes. And that is not only at the IT leadership level, but also at the mid-management level, because people will be bombarding us as IT organization with all different types of ad hoc jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then one approach is that we go through the formal approval process and have the machinery spend the time only at the end of the day to say no or yes. So if you say yes, you already were having a resource crunch. You took on more pressure not only for yourself but for your crew. But if you say no, then you can very well be labeled as this individual or this organization under this leadership does not deliver. And that kind of flows up and down the organization. And frankly, everybody in an organization has an agenda. If their agenda is not met, you are bad because you didn't do what they wanted you to do.
Well, yeah, that's a very well stated scenario. I think I've been through that battle. Matter of fact, in some ways, I'm going through that now. But the way that I try and do is kind of turn that argument around a bit with my staff and you know, and with our internal customers, which is no doesn't always mean no. Meaning we have to be able as an IT organization to very clearly articulate the impact of that request. I have an amazingly talented group of software developers and operations engineers and program managers and analysts here, and they are very bright and they want to be challenged. They like the idea of something else coming down the pipeline intellectually. That's very stimulating and it's challenging and it's seen as being healthy. However, the reality hits a little later once you kind of take a step back from the mental exercise and you take a look at the true impacts of being able to wedge that initiative in, whatever it is, the ad hoc request or project or change request. And in general here, this is all production software application development. And so, you know, the rate of change or the notion that changes can happen at any time versus maybe a shrink wrap product that, you know, you really have to lock and send is part of the culture here. And it's an expectation that we can handle a high rate of change, and I believe that we do. The ability to say no and articulate the impact, meaning if I give you A, then you have to give up C, or if I give you A, then C is compromised in this way, I think is something that is done generally well, but certainly not consistently. And because people are heroes sometimes, and myself included, we give the impression that these things can be done no matter what. But then when you step away from that blessed hero, behavior, because it's the right time to do so, or maybe you've gotten a little bit more of a reality check on how unrealistic that is to sustain that behavior. That's when you do get kind of negative reactions from your constituents. And I have to say, this is just an ongoing process that I could say that over a span of a year could move in and out of, thank goodness you guys didn't say yes to this and you stayed true to Project A because the quality that you delivered there and on time it far exceeded our expectations, and to the opposite of that. So I have to tell you, this is a dynamic that in an organization this young with the changes that we're going through, I feel like we're going to be moving through for the next, couple of years or so.
Yeah, I would just add that I think this kind of scenario or situation happens in almost every company. There
the amount of work coming in is always greater than what you can handle. And I think that that whole discussion, Jack, is exactly the kind of thing that you do have to go through. And you know, there are places where it's very successful and others that it doesn't work. And so for me, I would also throw in that there, a lot of the time it's not no or not at this time. It's really a matter of prioritizing what is important. And I think if you have that rational discussion about what's the priority, the ultimate impact on the company or that particular business unit, I think, you know, common sense and reasonable people will come to a reasonable decision that will make sense.
Yes, and to pick up on a thread you had mentioned earlier, I should have thought is with the priorities is, you know, you should always be able to defer to the strategy or
yep.
the main goals of the year as either your calling card for the answer is yes or you know here's a path and here's why, and we all
exactly.
understand that together and we move on. Those can be kind of touchy discussions because they're open for interpretation, but they're very helpful.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk a little bit about the resource crunch. And one of the major ones that is going to come is going to be the baby boomer exodus in coming years, like not more than 2 or 3 years. And we are also aware that an IT leader is only as good as the crew, and especially the frontline crew who, not exactly frontline, the mid-management who understands and can carry on the battle for the IT leader. And if they are not going to be there, suddenly there will be a vacuum. And frankly, for the next 10 years, the CIOs may not be able to take vacation because of that vacuum getting created. So how do we deal with that situation that is impending? Let's stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the Internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Unveil the business of real estate investing with the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing. Join your hosts, Rosie Nieto and Pete Mendenhall, who both come from the inner world of the real estate investors clubs and seminars. With this insider's view, you get to learn what it takes to be a successful real estate investor. Join us for the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing, every Wednesday at noon Pacific. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back, folks. Now, we all know that the captain of a ship is only as efficient and as effective as the crew that they have at different levels. And coming to the crew in IT organization, we are looking at especially the mid-management and some part of the senior management that exists, whether at business unit level or in even the IT organization, who have most of the business knowledge and the business savvy, are going to be retiring in the next couple of years, and we don't have a plan B. So how are we going to ever get a vacation?
Well, I think you raise a good point. I mean, there's definitely changes afoot right now when it comes to the overall workforce, whether it's on the leadership side all the way down to the entry-level technicians that come in the door. I mean, this is something that is very topical with my staff and I. We live in Chicago. We're right in downtown Chicago. We've got very vibrant technology education community here with the colleges right in the neighborhood. And so one of the things that we're trying to do, at least from the entry perspective, is we're working directly with local organizations and sitting on boards with some of the local academic institutions to understand how first of all, to understand the culture that is the generation that's emerging from the educational system, and also try and be involved with tech academies in high school and things here that can help formulate and ensure that the great talent that's being produced out of this market stays here. On the other side, there's the notion of transforming your technology so that things like distributed development or simplification of the architecture, using more standard. We're very much an open source shop, using more standards and open source and things, so that when you're onboarding your resources, you're able to make them efficient a lot more quickly, and also allow them to contribute in ways that are probably much more creative and more associated with their kind of cultural environment. There is definitely a change afoot. On the leadership side, I don't feel that crunch coming in the next couple of years, specifically in the environment that I'm working in. I do feel that it's something that we need to attend to. I'm much more about how to sustain an organization of almost 1,000 in technology across the globe, with about half of them here in Chicago. And it's not just about offshoring. Offshoring is only a part of the solution. I think it has much more to do with the culture, the technology we're using, and the expectations of what collaboration and what's the other word I'm looking for? How people contribute to the overall technology vision. That's very important, at least in the culture that I'm working in right now. Do you see anything similar, Mark?
Yeah, well, yeah, I actually do. I mean, I was just thinking around the timing, as you pointed out. I don't see it at the moment in impending on me, but I do see, in the next 5 to 7 years, and I see elements of it now in just the demands of the entrants that are coming out of the educational process and the expectations, both in terms of the environment they come into. We develop consumer products where we've got to hit markets, Christmas seasons, for example, every year, and highly innovative, a high degree of collaboration, and the whole idea that the technology that we have or have been using for the last 10 years is already, the web, has just been around since, 94, 93, and it's already old, and the collaboration needs that the new folks coming in from this from the educational system, they're demanding new tools, new ways of working, and I think you just can't supplement that with hiring and outsourcing and offshoring and all of that. And so you have to really balance the investment in the workforce, the technologies, and the tools, and provide that capability for those folks coming in, so that they are attracted, they are incented, and there isn't going to be this big vacuum in the workforce that everyone predicts.
Now, would you say your organizations are truly running as silos, or would you say there would be some impact based on what's happening in your value chain partners across like upstream and downstream?
Well, certainly, you have to be very much aware of what's going on with your partners up and downstream. I think the impact on our organization probably won't be as great in the short term, but I think, you know, you can find yourself very quickly in this business from a point of being very well connected and understanding what the dynamics are and the drivers to being completely out of touch. And so I think, you know, that is always a moving target that you have to be aware of and be connected to. And so, you know, as the CIO and making sure that you've got the right game plan, strategy, and again, the team, I think that really helps you and driving that connection and understanding, okay, how are things changing? What are the new drivers? What do I need to be aware of? How do I need to work differently? How do I need to operate differently? And I think those are the things that, you know, as a leader at any level in the organization, you always have to be asking those questions and making sure you have plans for.
Communication is one of the biggest, I would say, key to effective management, and most of us know that. And we can very well communicate, and we know what we are talking and what the person who's reciprocating or responding to our comments and however we are communicating with our direct reports, that's fine. We can control it. How are we creating a culture in our respective organizations so that consistent message goes out within the IT organization and how we interface at each level with the business community from an IT organization?
Yeah, I think communication is oftentimes undervalued, especially in a technology group like an IT function. And I'm finding even more and more, even after so many years in the business, learning more as to how valuable communication is. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I think communication we think of is within the organization and aligning our own teams. But the most valuable part of the communication is really the communication to your customers, your clients, the executive management team. You know, again, I think about it in terms of mind-numbing consistency. You know, say it once, say it twice, say it three times, continually making sure everybody understands where you're going, the strategies, the direction, what's working, what isn't, what do you need, you know, and making sure the business community at large really understands the organization and the value that it's bringing. And I think, you know, as you have mostly technology-oriented folks, that communication isn't a natural component of what people think about in terms of, you know, well, here's what I did today. You know, communication was a part of it. It isn't really a forefront to that thinking process, but it's becoming more and more important. And as we started in the very beginning of this discussion, you know, connection with the business and making sure that the role of the CIO and the organization has a forefront connection with driving business value in the company, it starts a lot of times with the right level of communication and partnership. And so I cannot overemphasize how important communication is.
I agree with everything you say. As a matter of fact, I just stated the, you know, once, twice, thrice, you know, hit them once, hit them twice, hit them three times over the head, and just be very consistent. I think that's a message that I recently gave to my direct team. And everything else is spot on. The only thing I would add is, you know, I think that communication is, of course, very important. As far as going back to the workforce and the Gen X or Gen Y, there's a bit of a shift happening that I've noticed, which is between the push and the pull. People like to go to the wiki and post, and people don't like emails, and who has, you know, then there's the culture that says, well, I like it pushed to me, but I don't have time, because I don't have time to go scouring through the wiki to see, you know, what the update is. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you'll have people say, well, I posted it on the wiki. Well, you know, that is just kind of an internal workings communication, kind of a, I would say, a bit of a culture clash. And that's why the consistency from the managers in repeating what the expectation is, so that these kinds of disparate communication channels can you know, still have a home and thrive and be viable, I think is something that we're going to have to do, to because there's going to be other communication channels like Jabber and all these other things. The only other thing I would add is that as long as the communication within your organization, and especially in IT, because everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, often people think of themselves as being technically savvy, and they have an answer or an approach, or they want to kind of come around the current state proclamation that's being made out of technology about how stable something is or not. The one thing that I think has to be communicated as how to communicate is you just need to be transparent. And that doesn't mean you have to completely give every bit of information out, but meaning that, you know, you're not selectively holding information back that doesn't really give the true picture. Because if you start moving that bar around, then no matter how repetitive you are or consistent you are or what tools you use, people are going to be suspect of what you're saying, and then you have to go around. So I think this is actually, I do believe, too, in just some statistics I was recently reading, people talking about the quality of their work environment. One of the biggest in technology specifically, communication always ends up in the top three. How yeah. consistent, how meaningful, and how accurate the communication is that comes down is paramount to people, especially in technology. So,
let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and see how our challenges as IT leaders are getting compounded just because we have become global. We have got mobile workforce and people are not seeing each other. And how do you lead people who don't see each other at least that often? And how many times do we as IT leaders go out and meet everybody, pat their back or shake hands and say you're doing a good job or this is where you need to improve? What team dynamic, what organizational structure should be when we are changing the way we have been working, whether remotely or in person? So let's talk more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjog Gall.
Welcome back, folks. Global IT teams, you got mobile workforce, you got outsourcing relationships, and we need our vacation as well. So if we were to change our organizational structure so that we make local leaders or we control them centrally, these things are going to add to the complexity and it's going to demand more of our time. Can we somehow counter this challenge and be able to you know, work still the same number of hours or maybe even fewer hours by creating, shifting the way we have our structure, the way the communication flows, everything else.
So I, you know, in the case of Logitech, we do have regional business organizations and, of course, regional IT groups as well. And so we do have a level of local management, local leadership, and, you know, they're not really at the level of a regional CIO per se, but certainly there is local accountability, responsibility, and response that is required. And I believe for myself and what works for us is really having that local line management function so that there's real accountability at a local level to the issues that are needed in that particular time zone or location. I think, though, what is really key as a foundation is having a level of communication and relationship both with the business groups from my office but also with the team. And so making sure that that team has what it needs, making sure that they are that there is a connection and a relationship with me. That's why, you know, for me, getting out and visiting these sites a minimum once a year, and I like to go to these sites at least twice a year to make sure that there's a continual level of engagement and responsiveness and partnership so that both, one, I can support them, and number two, I really do understand the pulse of what's going on in those regions. But I think you're going to see more and more, especially as companies grow and functions grow, a level of decentralization and distributedness is in the organization. And it's that level of relationship and making sure that structure works well so that, you know, decisions can be made operationally day to day that's going to make it successful. And I think that's kind of the role of that the CIO has to play, is making sure that that structure and environment works.
I couldn't agree with you more, and we have a very similar structure here at Orbitz. I would just add simply that that structure, I believe, does allow the CIO to take more vacation or not have more interrupts in the middle of the night, because now, essentially, if done correctly with the right leadership, technology leadership in those remote areas, you've got a leader who should be handling the day-to-day and the challenges that come up, and you know when you're going to get a call from him or her in the middle of the night or interruption, you'd like to think it's really gone beyond a certain level. I think that I think that empowers the team to actually do their best. I think the immediacy of having a leader present who is empowered to make decisions, I believe you end up with a stronger workforce in your remote areas than if you were trying to manage it remotely.
Do you think it would help if every time a CIO or an IT leader makes a decision, while there has to be some value created for the organization, it should also, in a way, have this focus that I will reduce 5 minutes of my time that I'd been spending on a normal day's job, and I will be able to use in something bigger and better? Because that's an opportunity. Every time you're bringing about change, whether it's an organization, whether the kind of projects you take on, everything. So it has to have a little bit of a selfish motive. Wouldn't that help in the big scheme of things?
Well, I don't know if it you know, that's really the approach that I take in terms of the decision-making process. But I do think, you know, as the dynamics of your business changes quite a bit, you do have to think about, okay, how do I spend my time and where do I want to focus my energies and what is going to make the most sense, both from certainly the company's point of view and then, of course, the organization. So I don't know that in my case it comes to the forefront of my thinking, but certainly I think I'm always looking at ways in which I can become more effective, spend my time on the right kinds of decisions and right kinds of issues, and making sure that as new things come up, and in the case of my organization, we certainly have a lot of investments, partnerships, acquisitions that go on that require almost immediate changes of focus, and that's always a continual challenge. And that's why, again, I come back to the organization at large needs to be really solid and the leadership in place to be able to allow you to do that.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Mark and Jack, for sharing your thoughts about how a CIO can actually afford a 2-week vacation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you again. Now, a CIO has lately been asked to carry multiple responsibilities and also be leading organization with does IT and business function. And with these overloaded plates, are we expecting this IT leader to realistically handle all tasks effectively and be reasonable in decision making? There are a few who would claim that they have been successful. However, it depends on the type of organization that they're working with. I salute all the IT leaders who are carrying out their respective Herculean roles and hoping that someday they will get relief. Are you an IT leader who has been successful in carving out a long vacation for yourself while leaving your IT department running on an autopilot? Please let us know. Tell us your story at views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog All next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Stocks, bonds.